The First Christmas Tree by Henry Van Dyke. Part 2. The Trail Through the Forest. 2 years had passed to a day, almost to an hour, since that Christmas Eve in the cloister of Falls El. A little company of pilgrims, less than a score of men, were creeping slowly northward through the wide forests that rolled over the hills of central Germany. At the head of the band marched Winfried, clad in a tunic of fur, with his long black robe girt high about his waist, so that it might not hinder his stride. His hunter's boots were crusted with snow. Drops of ice sparkled like jewels along the thongs that bound his legs. There was no other ornament to his dress except the bishop's cross hanging on his breast, and the broad silver clasp that fastened his cloak about his neck. He carried a strong, tall staff in his hand, fashioned at the top into the form of a cross. Close beside him, keeping step like a familiar comrade, was the young Prince Gregor. Long marches through the wilderness had stretched his limbs and broadened his back, and made a man of him in stature as well as in spirit. His jacket and cap were of wolfskin, and on his shoulder he carried an axe with broad shining blade. He was a mighty woodsman now, and could make a spray of chips fly about round him as he hewed his way through the trunk of a spruce tree. Behind these leaders followed a pair of teamsters, guiding a rude sledge, loaded with food and the equipage of the camp, and drawn by two big shaggy horses, blowing thick clouds of steam from their frosty nostrils. Tiny icicles hung from the hairs on their lips. Their flanks were smoking. They sank above the fetlocks at every step in the soft snow. Last of all came the rear guard, armed with bows and javelins. It was no child's play in those days to cross Europe afoot. The weird woodland, somber and illimitable, covered hill and vale, tableland and mountain peak. There were wide moors where the wolves hunted in packs as if the devil drove them, and tangled thickets where the lynx and the boar made their lairs. Fierce bears lurked among the rocky passes and had not yet learned to fear the face of man. The gloomy recesses of the forest gave shelter to inhabitants who were still more cruel and dangerous than beasts of prey. Outlaws and sturdy robbers and mad werewolves and bands of wandering pillagers. The pilgrim who would pass from the mouth of the Tiber to the mouth of the Rhine must travel with a little army of retainers, or else trust in God and keep his arrows loose in the quiver. The travelers were surrounded by an ocean of trees, so vast, so full of endless billows, that it seemed to be pressing on every side to overwhelm them. Gnarled oaks, with branches twisted and knotted as if in rage, rose in groves like tidal waves. Smooth forests of beech trees, round and gray, swept over the knolls and slopes of land in a mighty groundswell. But most of all, the multitude of pines and firs, innumerable and monotonous, with straight stark trunks and branches woven together in an unbroken hood of darkest green, crowded through the valleys and over the hills, rising on their highest ridges into ragged crests, like the foaming edge of breakers. Through this sea of shadows ran a narrow stream of shining whiteness, an ancient Roman road covered with snow. It was as if some great ship had ploughed through the green ocean long ago, and left behind it a thick, smooth wake of foam. Along this open track, the travelers held their way, heavily, for the drifts were deep, warily, for the hard winter had driven many packs of wolves down from the moors. The steps of the pilgrims were noiseless, but the sledges creaked over the dry snow, and the panting of the horses throbbed through the still cold air. The pale blue shadows on the western side of the road grew longer. The sun, declining through its shallow arch, dropped behind the treetops. Darkness followed swiftly, as if it had been a bird of prey waiting for this sign to swoop down upon the world. "Father," said Gregor to the leader, "surely this day's march is done. It is time to rest and eat and sleep. If we press onward now, we cannot see our steps. And will not that be against the word of the psalmist David, who bids us not to put confidence in the legs of a man?" Winfried laughed. "Nay, my son Gregor," said he, "thou hast tripped even now upon thy text. For David said only, 'I take no pleasure in the legs of a man.' And so say I, for I am not minded to spare thy legs or mine, until we come farther on our way, and do what must be done this night. Draw the belt tighter, my son, and hew me out this tree that has fallen across the road, for our campground is not here." The youth obeyed. Two of the foresters sprang to help him, and while the soft fir wood yielded to the stroke of the axes, and the snow flew from the bending branches, Winfried turned and spoke to his followers in a cheerful voice that refreshed them like wine. "Courage, brothers, and forward yet a little. The moon will light us presently, and the path is plain. Well know I that the journey is weary, and my own heart wearies also, for the home in England, where those I love are keeping feast this Christmas Eve. But we have work to do before we feast tonight. For this is the Yuletide, and the heathen people of the forest have gathered at the Thunder Oak of Geismar to worship their god Thor. Strange things will be seen there, and deeds which make the soul black. But we are sent to lighten their darkness, and we will teach our kinsmen to keep a Christmas with us, such as the woodland has never known. Forward, then, and let us stiffen up our feeble knees." A murmur of assent came from the men. Even the horses seemed to take fresh heart. They flattened their backs to draw the heavy loads and blew the frost from their nostrils as they pushed ahead. The night grew broader and less oppressive. A gate of brightness was opened secretly somewhere in the sky. Higher and higher swelled the clear moon flood, until it poured over the eastern wall of forest into the road. A drove of wolves howled faintly in the distance, but they were receding, and the sound soon died away. The stars sparkled merrily through the stringent air. The small round moon shone like silver. Little breaths of the dreaming wind wandered whispering across the pointed fir tops, as the pilgrims toiled bravely onward, following their clue of light through a labyrinth of darkness. After a while, the road began to open out a little. There were spaces of meadowland fringed with alders, behind which a boisterous river ran, clashing through spears of ice. Rude houses of hewn logs appeared in the openings, each one casting a patch of inky blackness upon the snow. Then the travelers passed a larger group of dwellings, all silent and unlighted, and beyond they saw a great house with many outbuildings and enclosed courtyards, from which the hounds bayed furiously, and a noise of stamping horses came from the stalls. But there was no other sound of life. The fields around lay bare to the moon. They saw no man, except that once, on a path that skirted the farther edge of a meadow, three dark figures passed by, running very swiftly. Then the road plunged again into a dense thicket, traversed it, and climbing to the left, emerged suddenly upon a glade, round and level, except at the northern side, where a swelling hillock was crowned with a huge oak tree. It towered above the heath, a giant with contorted arms, beckoning to the host of lesser trees. "Here," cried Winfried, as his eyes flashed and his hand lifted his heavy staff, Here is the thunder oak, and here the cross of Christ shall break the hammer of the false god Thor. End of part 2.